Welcome to the Antonio Neve Show, where I share powerful stories, actionable lessons, and insights designed to elevate your personal and professional growth. I'm Antonio Neve. I'm the best-selling author of Stop Living on Autopilot, an executive coach, and an internationally recognized leadership speaker. For me, the work that we do on this show is personal. It's all about getting a little bit better every day. Today on the show, we're being joined by my friend Scott J. Gazinski. We're going to talk about the things that men can do to make sure that they are harder to kill and can live long and healthy lives. Scott is the founder of Argent Alpha, a program that helps men over 50 look, feel, and perform like they're 20 years younger. But look, if you're not a man and you're not over 50, you are still going to want to listen to this episode. Also, every single week, Scott writes the Harder to Kill newsletter, where he shares one tip to help make men harder to kill. In our wide-ranging and fun conversation, we dig into how men can reverse their age, feel younger, perform better, and also the importance of community. Before we get into the episode, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by the 7x7 method. Look, according to the internet and social media, to live a great life, you have to wake up every day at 3:30 a.m. You have to take ice baths. You have to take TRT. You have to eat mushrooms that were foraged near Hogwarts. You have to take these different weight loss drugs people are talking about. But in my experience, in the work that I do, I've learned that those things are not required to live a great life. There are 7 simple actions that if you do them for 7 days, they can help you ignite laser focus. They can help you boost your energy levels. They can help you wash away stress and anxiety. They can help you lead with unshakable confidence. You will master your to-do list, and of course, you will celebrate daily wins. And while doing this, you will create real momentum in your life and in your career in just 7 days. And here's the bonus. It won't cost you anything but your commitment. The 7x7 method is 100% free. Go to the link in the show notes, get the 7x7 method, and see what thousands of people across the globe are talking about and how it's sparking positive change in their life in just 7 days. Check out the 7x7 method. Link is in the show notes. All right, let's get into our episode with Scott J. Gazinski, where we talk about what you can do to make sure you live a long life and are hard to kill. So I love what you're building with Argent Alpha. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. Specifically, I want to start off talking about your blog, Harder to Kill. Maybe the best blog name ever, Harder to Kill. Tell me about that concept of being harder to kill, how you came up with that. And for me, as I read into, as much as you're talking to men, specifically over 50, it also seems extremely personal.
Well, yes. So it's funny, about 14 years ago, my wife and I got into longevity. She got into it first, actually. And so we learned about life extension, age management, all those concepts. So then fast forward to 2021, and I had, and this kind of gets into how the business was formed. I mean, I had my Scott Adams moment. He's the founder of Dilbert. Somebody asked him, like, hey, what led to your success? And he said, well, I was three things. I was an okay business guy. I was a decent cartoonist or drawer, and I was kind of funny. But when I combined them all, I got world-class. I got Dilbert. And so I was thinking, like, well, what are my three things? And I thought, like, well, gosh, I know a lot about longevity stuff from being in that world as a patient and a consumer of it. And I was into fitness and health, and I was pretty good in business. I thought, like, well, I'm going to, you know, because I had this itch to create this business around this area. And so I was looking for names. I thought, like, longevity, age management, anti-aging. So everybody's heard of those words. I thought, like, there's got to be a different way to come at this. And I thought, harder to kill. And I think I'd heard the term hard to kill, maybe from my CrossFit days, or I don't really remember, but I know it wasn't, it came from somewhere. And so, but I just made it, I added the ER and I added the making men over 50 harder to kill. And I thought, that's my hook. I mean, and it was real because that's the name of the game, right? We want to live longer. So being harder to kill is going to make you live longer. And so that's landed on the name and went with it.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about longevity and we'll dig into longevity in a bit and specifically what biological age is and all that kind of fun stuff. But as I'm hearing you talk about, you got into it and your wife got into it 10 plus years ago. I mean, if I'm correct, a lot of people weren't talking about longevity. That was pretty, a really small circle of folks that were getting into that. How did you get exposed to that?
Well, it's funny. So my wife was the first one and she read one of Suzanne Summers' books. I don't remember the name, but she's put out tons of content and products. She was well ahead of her time. She has so many physicians on her team. And I can't remember if it was the book Bombshell or it was one of those books. So she got on a program and it just, you know, it was phenomenal for her. Cause I think at the time we were in our mid 40s. And so I saw her results. And then I had another friend who sold a business and rather than do, it sold to private equity and they had this sort of thing for Key Man life insurance. Yeah. I'm going to Mayo Clinic, get the executive health thing. And he said, hey, yeah, I could do that, but what if I do this, Senogenics thing, which was one of the early clinics in, I think, Las Vegas that focused on longevity. So he did that. He shared those things with me and I'd never heard about this stuff or I kind of heard about it from Jackie, but when those two things came together, it was like, okay, it's outside of insurance. Doctors don't talk about it. It's not covered by healthcare. I was just intrigued by it. And so I got on a program in 2010. It was 2 weeks into it. I still remember the day I woke up feeling like my mojo's back. It was like this zest for life that I didn't realize had left or had been reduced. But when all the things that we did kicked in, it was like, let's go. I mean, I literally remember it was January 2010. So I think it was early, but it wasn't day one, but it was probably week one of this whole longevity movement is my guess.
Yeah. So for folks watching and listening to this, do a Google of Suzanne Summers real quick and check out her work from this classic show back in the day, Three's Company. I mean, she had fitness videos, so I had no idea that she was so far ahead of the curve with her books and what she was doing. I know she always was on TV with fitness and those different things. But you said something interesting right there, Scott. You said doctors don't talk about it. Like, so all of a sudden you found these protocols, found these different things that started to make you feel like $1 million, probably doing things you didn't even know existed. I think as a lot of people know, a lot of doctors and the healthcare system, what they do is treat the symptoms. Very rarely, if ever, do they get to the root cause and do a full diagnostic, if you will. So what has been your experience with doctors, the things they don't tell you about in the healthcare system?
Oh, man. If you were with the media, I feel like that's a loaded gun question, but I'm going to just go with it anyway. So first of all, the name healthcare is a misnomer. It should be called sick care. It's a reactive system designed to treat symptoms. It's driven by pills and procedures. And it's all financially driven. You know, the first question everybody asks about any kind of procedure is it covered by insurance? It's not, will this make me healthier? That's never the first question. It's, is it covered by insurance? So I think Western medicine is fantastic for acute injuries or treating something that like, hey, you're bleeding. We got to stop the bleeding. You need a new kidney. Awesome. But these proactive things, it's just they don't spend any time. I can't remember the stats, but I think healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, assistants, their levels of being overweight and obesity, being obese, are almost nearly the same as the general population. So that's something where you look at and you go, if you have a doctor who's overweight, probably obese, and they're giving you healthcare advice, I don't know, just ask yourself, Does this make sense? So I'm a guy like I'm the CEO of my health. I build my board of directors of healthcare providers. So I've got a naturopathic physician who's trained by the A4, the Anti-Aging Academy of something. I don't know what it stands for, but it's an anti-aging credential. I've got a physical therapist she's probably 15% body fat, CrossFitter. She's phenomenal. I've got a nurse who's trained in ozone, IV, NAD plus. And I'll have some other roles that swap in and out, but I consider them my proactive healthcare team. And the thing I lack, oddly enough, is a primary care physician, and knock on wood, because I don't have to go to the doctor. I mean, for those kinds of things. Now, if I do, there's urgent care and things like that, but it's crazy. I don't even have health insurance. We're in one of these health reshare programs that I think Zion is one that's based, I think, out of California. Half the cost, because they cut out the insurance company, the financial part of it. And I have some friends who work for one of the big insurance companies. They probably, I don't know if they'll listen to this or not, but they probably won't like this. But I'm just a big critic of the healthcare system. And if you just look at the outcomes we're realizing in this country and the amount of money we're spending, if this was an investment, this would be like funding a company that's incurring loss after loss after loss, and they keep getting funding. It wouldn't happen. And that's our healthcare system.
Yeah, well, you said a lot there, but I love the key thing you said is that you are the CEO of your health. So much we outsourced that to someone else, and we outsource that to entities, organizations, practices that don't necessarily have our best interest in mind. And even when you do go in, you have these long waits, and you have, you get 8 minutes if you're lucky with a doctor. Now, all of this obviously isn't their fault. It's based on the system, but I find that extremely fascinating. And you have me laughing because I had to go. This is random. I had to go get a tuberculosis test recently, not because I'm at risk for tuberculosis, but because I want to volunteer at my kid's school. So I had to prove that I don't have tuberculosis. And I went to go into the center to get it done, and the door was locked, and I couldn't understand why. And then all of a sudden, someone started walking towards me, the nurse who works there, she was smoking a cigarette as she was coming towards me. Now, look, I get it. Nicotine, cigarette addiction is real. I'm a former smoker. I've talked about that, so I'm not one to judge. But also something came up. I mean, listen, I've been fortunate to be, healthy throughout my life. I still will never forget learning about functional medicine and learning about the work of Dr. Mark Hyman and what functional medicine was, and talking to my dear friend, Drew Perowit from the Drew Perowit podcast, and all of a sudden getting labs and these blood works and these things that I didn't even know existed. Now, I was fortunate because maybe we can talk about this in a little bit. A lot of this stuff wasn't cheap. It wasn't covered by healthcare either. I had to pay out of pocket. So I was fortunate that I could do so. But my mind was just blown from a preventative perspective, from an awareness perspective, not treating the symptoms, but going straight to the root cause. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, I want to talk about this. Something interesting for you, and I think this is pretty interesting and similar with the Argent Alpha community, but also the Man Morning community. These dudes, these are successful dudes. These are men that have checked off many of the boxes that society said they should check off. These are successful, accomplished men. Now, I'm curious for you, something happens sometimes when men, they may have career success, they may have financial success, the bank accounts and all that looks good. But as they get older, say post 40, beyond the career and financial success, some other things start to lag, the physical health, maybe the relationships as well. What has been your experience with men who are outwardly successful by societal standards, but from a physical, from a health perspective, fitness, they're not?
Well, that's a great question. Let me start with, for every 10 guys who come into Argent Alpha, two of them I would put in the body fat percentages are healthy. They're right around 15%, maybe lower. Blood work's pretty solid. Overall, they're good. They're just looking for that next level thing. It could be fitness. It could be a proactive healthcare. It could be mindset stuff. But the other 80%, which mirrors the general population, is they're overweight or obese, and they maybe have a feeling they've got this sense like something could be better. So anyways, those are the two kind of groups that come in. And I think why these are all C-suite, private equity, high-end commercial real estate, retired guys, founders of businesses. I mean, almost every one of these guys fits into one of those buckets. And think why their balance sheets are here and their waistlines are here. Has to do with, like, when you're in business, you can delegate, you've got a team, you can leverage. You can't do that with your health. You have to own it. It's like, it's a sweat equity, put in the work. And it's one of those, I heard somebody say this the other day, being fit and healthy is like the biggest flex. And again, that comes from more of my son's generation of that language pattern, but I know what they're talking about. It's like, you can't go buy it. It's not a Rolex, it's not a Ferrari. you got to go earn it. And I think that's the underlying thing these guys realize. And they all come in with, I call it like, you know, either fixed or growth mindset. I don't get calls from fixed mindset guys. They don't call. I get, the worst guy I get is a neutral plus, I call it. They're somewhere on that like early stage. And it's all about overcoming limiting beliefs. And I think that's where, when they start getting results, and now you leveled up the health and fitness side to equal the balance sheet and career, already confident guys go to the next level.
Yeah, but listen, you said something really important. You can't delegate your health. That's one thing. You can't say, here, can you do that for me? I'm curious, for the men that come in, how many of them have considered what you would consider a life-altering event? In my book, Stop Living on Autopilot, I talk about, don't wait for life-altering events to live the life that you're supposed to live. And when I say life-altering events, Scott, I'm talking about health scares, right? When you go to the doctor, I'm talking about getting a DUI. I'm talking about car accidents, losing someone close to you that you love. It's when those external events or those things that happen that are life-altering, it's only then that you decide to make a shift and you make a change. So these men that are in Arjun Alpha, are these men that have had those type of experiences? Or no, as you mentioned earlier, like, no, these are just dudes. These are just men that want to level up, be the best they can.
Yeah, I'd say I would put it at about maybe 10% have had some event like you're describing, something that was scary. I know a couple of guys have been cracked open through the chest. I mean, open heart, not a lot, but I would segment it. Then there's some men who have been on 3, 4, 5 medications and they want to dial those things back. I mean, there's this point where there's almost a tipping point, I think, for guys where they go, the fifth medication or the next belt size or the new wardrobe. I think these tipping points are different for guys and they're all gradual, except, you know, something like a heart attack is obviously, it seems sudden, but that thing was brewing a decade or so earlier. It just sneaks up on you. But the reality is it really didn't sneak up on you. There's been signs. And I was just talking with one of our members about this. He's a physician himself. And he said, it's like, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. It's been there. So I think what's interesting about these guys is they all realize there's a better way. There is an opportunity to make the second half the best half. There's not, I posted about this the other day. They're not punting. They're going for it on fourth down. And I think that mindset shift is right there is a game changer for guys.
Yeah, it's about playing to win as opposed to playing not to lose. I love to talk about that. I think something else that's critical that you reference in that is, again, that mindset perspective, like having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. Great book by Carol Dweck on that subject. I want to talk about some of the pillars of Arjun Alpha and the work that you do. But before we go there, I keep saying before we go there, I promise we're going to go there. You know, you have a unique background, like prior to doing the work that you do today, you know, successful business person, CEO, entrepreneur. If I'm correct, you have had led publicly traded companies as well. Has that background given you any unique insight in ways that you can approach this, say, if you weren't an entrepreneur? I think I'm thinking about, you mentioned a lot of the men that you work with. It seems like many of them are entrepreneurial. And I'm curious if there's some type of entrepreneurial mindset versus the growth mindset versus, say, the standard employee fixed mindset that allows you to approach your health and what you're doing in a different way.
Yeah, I think if I had to boil it down, Tony, I'd say if you're an entrepreneur, the underlying theme we all have is you see a problem in need of a solution. And so that's how I attack this whole business. And so when I was two different companies that I ran, one of them we sold to a publicly traded company, so we were subsidiaries. I wasn't running a publicly traded company. Just in case your fact checkers dig in, I don't want any of us to get in trouble. But you think about it, you in business, you I tell this guy all the time. Do you have a vision for your business? Yes. Do you have core values? Yes. Do you have a strategic plan? Yes. Do you have annual plans? Yes. Do you have budgets? Yes. Do you have quarterly on down the line? And I'll say, you have none of that for your personal life. Zero. And so we've created counterparts that mirror those business concepts that almost every business guy who comes in, they're all business people, has experience. So there's a little bit of an ease of, they can understand where I'm going. So instead of vision, we call it future self. instead of monthly P&Ls, we do monthly testing. And so instead of core values, we have standards that we follow. And so I've taken a lot of these proven business models and tweaked them a bit for personal use. And I think that's where my business background has served me well, because if I didn't have that, it'd probably be a bit more of a challenge. But I'm just leveraging, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants who've done this stuff with companies and people and just tweaking it for our population.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, and if people are listening to you talk, they're probably familiar with, is it Geno Wickman?
Yeah.
Who wrote the EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And I love how in some of the information that you've shared, you have parallels to what they talk about for entrepreneurs, but what you're talking about with your health. And you know what, for the post, maybe we'll share a link to that as well, so people can see exactly what you're talking about. So one of the goals with Argent Alpha is to help men look, feel, and perform like they're 20 years younger. And you have some key pillars within that. And I want to break down some of the key pillars and hoping you could tell me a little bit about those. First and foremost, you talk about an identity based on healthy behaviors, habits, and lifestyle. So we all know about behaviors, habits, and lifestyle, but the word that stands out for me is the identity there. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So that word I borrowed from James Clear's work in Atomic Habits. So he talks about the different types, I think he calls it layers of change. And most people are outcome or goal focused. So I want to lose 15 pounds. So they go out, they do whatever they need to do. They lose 15 pounds, but they haven't changed what's inside. And so that as life goes on, they tend to go back and now they put on maybe 15 pounds or more. Then the next level of change is process change. And so that's what are the things you do every day to then achieve those outcomes. Process stuff is a little bit better, but again, goals dictate process, not the other way around. So you don't just start a process without a goal. That's just crazy. And so at the core of it, though, is changing your identity. So in our case, becoming the healthy, fit, strong, vigorous man over 50 who's going out and crushing life. I mean, that's the identity that, that's a descriptor that I have down written for myself. And then I take Dr. Benjamin Hardy's work on future self and mesh that into the identity and say, okay, what are we solving for? Because when you go on a vacation, what's the first thing you do? You don't pack. You don't buy a plane ticket. Where are we going? What's the destination? That's the first thing you do. So before we go do fitness or supplements or nutrition or sleep strategies or hydration stuff, what do you want? What are we solving for here? Now, that tends to be very common for these guys. They want their body fat down. They want to reverse biological age. They want more energy. They want to restore functionality to certain joints that might not be working, but you still got to go through that process. And then once that's nailed, then we get into our process, which I call the Alpha 5, and we can talk about those. And then the testing is more it's like measuring goals. Then we do that every month because you got to know if you're on track so you can make course corrections.
As you were talking, I started chuckling to myself a little bit because so many people want to know what the best protein powder is to use, but they're not working out and they're eating crap throughout the day, but they want to know what the best protein powder is to use. And I'm sure at some point I asked myself that question as well. And briefly, I got to give a shout out to Dr. Hardy, who I do not know, but because of you, I read his book, 10X is Greater Than 2X, which was a phenomenal read for anyone listening, watching right now. 10X, is it greater or better than?
10X is easier.
Yeah. 10X is easier than 2X. That book is a ridiculously amazing read. Definitely check that out. So, okay, the second thing I want to talk about with your pillars is improved biological age. I remember recently, like on social media, I started seeing people talk about biological age. There was Peter Thiel talking about it. Dr. Mark Hyman was talking about it. Like, hey, though I may be 60 plus in real life, my biological age is 48 or 43. So what's a simple way to describe what biological age is?
Sure. So I would start off by saying, first, we all know our chronological age. So your birthday, right? You're a certain age right now. We all know that number. But because of lifestyle, mainly environmental issues and some into a minor perspective is genetics, you can be aging faster or slower than your birthday. So you want to be aging slower. So your cell on a cellular level, if you're 60 and you're 56 on a biological level, that's a good thing. Now, we've had guys come in all across the board. We've had guys who quote unquote look great and are aging faster than the clock. bad thing. We've had guys who need have some work to do in body composition, but they're fine on biological age. So it's not always a, you can't always judge a book by its cover. And the main reason I like to do biological testing isn't so much to get into the details of what that are, what goes on in that test. They should talk to their physician about it. It gets guys' attention. Nobody wants to be biologically older than their actual chronological age. So I'm guessing you're in your mid 40s or so. If you had your test and you came back at 55, you'd be probably terrified and pissed off at the same time, right? Maybe both. Maybe some other feelings would come in there, but you wouldn't be happy. And all of a sudden you'd be very motivated to take action. So that's one of the reasons I do it is either A, good work, keep going. We got a baseline on you if you're actually biologically younger. But if you're older, it doesn't mean panic. It just means let's get to work. It's just another reason to get after it. So
yeah, something interesting you just said that, and I don't know how deep you can talk about this, but you mentioned genetics to a lesser extent. It seems like the vast majority of people are like, just my genetics, not much I can do about it. It sounds like you're saying that's not necessarily always the case.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a cop-out that people will use. They'll blame mom and dad or grandpa or, and the real reality is, I think one of our guys, a physician who's trained in this area, he puts it at about 10%-ish, and he'll put somewhere between the 40 to 50% is lifestyle. Another maybe 20-30% is environmental. And then the rest might be in that genetic slash, maybe you can or you can't control it. But the message there is you have way more control than you probably realize. And it's definitely more than 51%.
Yeah, so much more influence. Like you said, I think a lot of people use that as an excuse, and that's just not the case. I'm glad you pointed that out. Let's go to another one of your pillars, and that is the importance of increased functional strength and endurance. And that includes also lower body fat percentage and increased muscle mass. And one thing that you plug and you push really hard on your LinkedIn post and in your newsletter as well is resistance training and making sure you're staying strong. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I usually start off with, give me all the benefits to being weak. And so it's the same thing with give me all the benefits to being overweight. I mean, my doctor friend who's a member, he said, well, you can float better. I had to laugh like, well, all right, I'll give you this one benefit. So I think one, being stronger is never a bad thing. Now, that doesn't mean we're not bodybuilders. We're not power lifters. We're not doing any of those. That's where people's heads usually go is some extreme sort of, well, I don't want to get bulky. And I go, hey, I've been working with dozens of guys. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get bulky. You have to be choking down protein, lifting heavy 2 hours a day, and probably on steroids in order to get bulky. That's not what we're talking about. So we're talking about like Dr. Mark Hyman, who you mentioned earlier. His one of the comments he makes in his book, Young Forever, is in order to build muscle, you need to eat muscle. So he gets into why animal protein is a really important part of a diet. He also talks a bit about sarcopenia, which is the natural loss of muscle as we age. So all things being equal, it depends on who you read and what research you want to believe, but around 40-ish or so, you start losing around 1% of your muscle mass. And as you get into the 50s and 60s, that rate of loss is going to increase. So it can be anywhere from 1% to 3% for a guy who's 60 years old. And so that's why body fat percentage is so important. So it's not about losing weight. It's about bringing your fat down and preserving your muscle mass as you're doing that. So to give you an example, one of my early guys, a guy named Tom, in 6 months, he dropped 24 pounds of weight and it was 24 pounds of fat. He lost zero muscle in 6 months just by following the protocols we put out there. So again, being strong, there's no downside. And there's people like Dr. Gabrielle Lyon.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's big on muscle-centric medicine. Muscle is medicine. She says, hey, we don't have a fat problem or obesity problem in the country. We have a lack of muscle problem. And so there's a lot more of the people who are on the edge of this topic are just saying, hey, you've got to preserve the muscle mass you have. The other thing people say is like, oh, you can't gain muscle when you're older. I've got a 65-year-old guy who's lost, my numbers are going to be pretty darn close here. Over the course of 8 months, he's lost, I think, 30 pounds of fat and added 6 pounds of muscle.
Wow.
At age 65. And so people say, well, you can't lose fat and gain muscle at the same time. I go, that may be true, but I've got probably 25 examples of it happening. So we must be living in a fairy tale life. So these, again, getting over these limiting beliefs, and you can't believe everything you read. But man, must strength training is fundamentally one of the best things you can do as part of your longevity strategy.
Yeah, and what's wild, I mean, you mentioned Dr. Gabriel Lyon, you talk about Mark. I mean, the research obviously backs all this up, but what's wild is if you read mainstream publications, very rarely, if ever, are they mentioning this. Yeah, they'll mention diet, they'll mention cardio, they'll mention walking, but very rarely are they like saying, not lift some heavy weights, right? Get stronger. And that's unfortunate. And I just know I'm a different man when I'm lifting regularly, especially when I'm lifting heavy. It just activates something in me that's kind of primal, old school, that I just love. And speaking of primal, you know, the last pillar that you have is this one of confidence building. And I love that that's the last pillar, because my hunch is that happens organically, naturally from following the other ones. Is that right?
Oh, it's totally a byproduct. Yeah, it just, we don't solve for it. It just happens. I mean, I've got one guy in our group. So he started off like the first 3 months and, you know, he's complying, he's having some success. And we had a kind of a come to Jesus meeting, and he drank the Kool-Aid. This guy took off like a rocket, man. He's 6'4", he's 10% body fat. He's doing double digit strict pull-ups. He's doing farmer carry with his body weight. And he's got his son doing it. And this guy's, every one of these guys comes in, they're high confident guys. They're successful. It's at a whole nother level. And again, that's not cocky. He's not cocky. He's like, what else should I be doing? The upper limits have been either removed or just raised much higher. And so that's what I love about this thing. Because when we started it, it's kind of an experiment. I had 15 of my buddies come in day one saying, I want to test out these protocols. And five of them kind of faded away. Five kind of did it. Five just crushed it. And what I learned from that was like, wow, I wasn't really thinking about community. That's been one of the biggest factors that fell out of this. The confidence building, wasn't thinking about that. I had my head all in the analytics, man. It's like, hey, get guys moving down, get them stronger, shed some fat, start doing some pull-ups, reverse biological age. I got to say, the magic in this thing has been the tribal part of guys, you know, iron sharpens iron. That's been, because everything else kind of flows from that. So I kind of got lucky backing into it with these supporting things. This was really the main thing, but I don't think you can attract guys with words like community. They got to learn that and experience it themselves. And the hook with harder to kill and some of these fitness things, that's really the hook. That's not what it's really about. That's just a component of it.
Yeah, I've learned firsthand with Building Man Morning that the word community is not going to gather people around. Come find your brothers. No. It's the other things that bring people there. And we're going to talk about community here in a little bit, what you found from these men coming together to have similar missions. But I want to say, you know, everything you just shared, that those key pillars of the work you're doing with Arjun Alpha, for that man that's watching this right now, and they say, you know what, that's cool, but why don't we just make it easier and do a little TRT, a little testosterone replacement therapy? I can't tell you how many friends, you know, that I know that around my age, you know, 40s, that are young, for all intents and purposes, healthy, that are talking about TRT. And so for me, not being a medical professional, I know enough to be a little bit dangerous talking about that. So I can ask key questions about diet, about workout, about sleep, and beyond, because I know there are natural ways to boost testosterone, about what their strength, their resistance training, et cetera. But what has been your experience? You're a little bit older than me, so I know a lot of men post 50 are definitely rocking TRT. And I live in Los Angeles, where there's a lot of injections of a whole bunch of different stuff going into people. So what has been your experience with TRT and any overall thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, my view on TRT is TRT is the wrong place to start. The place to start is what needs to be true to achieve optimal health. And so, well,
Say that one more time.
So don't start with TRT or supplements or fitness. It's like, start with what needs to be true to achieve optimal performance and health. And so then that will lead you down the path of, working with a qualified physician, blood labs, and then TRT or testosterone might fall out of that as, hey, you're a little bit low. Now, what I mean, this is a PG-13 podcast, right? I mean, so I think I can use this term.
Say what you want to say. Go for it.
So I joke with guys like, don't go to the boner doctors. That's not who you want to go to. That's not part of the plan. You want a holistic, functional, integrative, naturopathic, or A4 trained physician who gets the big picture and how testosterone fits in. Because this is like, testosterone is one dial you turn. When you turn that dial, there are like 10, 15, 20, who knows how many other things that are affected by that. And so you need to be working with someone. But the reality is most guys coming in who are 50 plus, my guess is their testosterone levels are going to be anywhere from 200 to 600 nanograms per deciliter. So just even if you take out the fancy measurement terms, they're not going to be optimal. Most guys who are training this will tell you, you want to be around 800 to 1000. It's a little different for everybody. It's more on feel and less about numbers and how do you perform? So it's very personal. So I think TRT is definitely an important thing to consider. Now, I was just talking with a couple of different physicians. We had a guest, Dr. David Gallegos, on Wednesday. And the question was, hey, how do you avoid guys using TRT as a shortcut, thinking it's going to solve all their problems, versus the guys who actually need it to get going? And so kind of what fell out of that is, if somebody's got the start of some good habits, so somebody comes into Arjun Alpha, they're working on their mindset, their sleep, their nutrition, their fitness, their hydration, and then they do blood work and it's like, hey, looks like TRT or a broader bioidentical hormone replacement plan might give them the little boost, then it's like an appropriate thing to consider. But for the guys who just want T, it's like, it's not good. It's just the wrong place to start, in my opinion. So there's a broader picture there to be had. But I think there's a lot of guys that fall for the ads on talk radio, sports ads that get served up on the internet, and like, it's going to solve all your problems. Dude, if you're 25% overweight and you're not doing all these things, all the blue little pills and injections, not going to change anything, really. It could have harmful effects on you, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really great information that you shared. And I think this is a good point of our conversation right now, just to remind folks who are watching and listening, if you are considering some of these protocols, different things that we're talking about, talk to a physician, talk to a professional to get more information and someone that you trust, that you're going to get good information from. The information is there. You just got to be willing sometimes in our current healthcare system to take a few more steps and to request maybe different labs that normally aren't offered just by making those asks. So make sure you do that.
Hey, can I add on one quick thing to that, Tony?
Sure.
So here's a litmus test for your physician when you ask them that question. If they say something along the following lines, you can do that if you want to. You can try that. It might work. Just sort of almost like a dismissive, it's not going to work. It's probably time to find either a different physician or an additional one. That tells me they haven't experienced it. They're not really informed on it. They don't get it. And so you want someone trained in these things. And so I think just ask those questions. But I think there are questions to ask your insurance-backed doctor. You might as well start there with blood labs, get educated on which labs to ask for. The other thing to get educated about it is ranges. If testosterone, the normal range might be, according to some labs, 300 to 800. That's a huge range. That's the difference between an 80-year-old guy and a 20-year-old guy. Well, somebody your age, you don't want to be necessarily either one of those. Where should a guy like you be that's optimal? And so my doctor's always said for the last 15 years, I want you to be in the hormone ranges in the age or the area of a late 30s male. Not Barry Bonds, nothing crazy. And so that's where, when you talk to a physician, that's where you know you're on the right track, where they're ahead of the curve. But dismissive physicians, you can try that if you want to. I don't think that works. That's BS. They're way behind the game.
Yeah, I think that's great information. You bring up an interesting point. Like when you do get blood work or something, you're like, oh, that falls into the normal range. Normal for who? Because if we look at even the old school food pyramid, what people are telling us to eat, those typically aren't the things that we want to consume by no means. So I think that was great info. And regarding labs, I found, going through my healthcare system here in Los Angeles, when I go do blood tests and all that fun stuff, that I tell them what labs I want. Like, hey, can you also add this on there? And most times they're more than willing to do so. It doesn't cost any extra. They don't even know most times to ask for those labs, but I will ask for them and they'll gladly do it. And there's a lot of information and resources out there that can tell you which ones you want to look at. And to Scott's point, what the range is you're looking for. But if you can work with pros that know this stuff, do it. I think on top of all of this, one thing that you do that's so critical that I say most people don't do, and I don't do this on a regular basis unless I'm working with a trainer, is you have monthly testing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what takes place during that monthly testing and why it's so important? And I just think about that from a fitness perspective, Scott, because even if you're working out every single month on your own, you're running, maybe you're doing some HIIT, maybe you're throwing some kettlebells around. If you're not testing every single month, you really don't know what your baseline is and where you are or where you're going. So I'm curious about your philosophy on the monthly testing and why that's so important.
Yeah. So the couple different things to cover in that area. So one, we created, and we're on like the third iteration now of our program's called Argent Alpha Athlete. So A3. And a little bit about, I chose that term very specifically. We don't quote unquote work out. We train. We're athletes. Athletes train with a specific objective in mind. And when you train with a specific objective in mind, you measure it, you time it, you record it. So it's very different than working out. That's a guy who goes to the gym, sits on the bike, he pedals, he goes, does a few curls. Again, that's better than nothing, but you're not going to really move the needle. So anyway, Argent Alpha Athletes, so keep that in mind. Six movements we do once a month, all that are correlated to varying degrees to longevity. So one of the things we do is the dead hang for time. How long can you hang from a bar? And that grip strength correlates to longevity. So we've got one guy who's done over 3 minutes. And anybody listen to this, think, oh, what's 3 minutes? Go out and hang on a bar and text us your score. You probably won't make it to a minute. So that's one of them. A wall sit. Go sit on a wall, get your thighs parallel, and see how long you can go. Got one guy, you met Clint. I'll give Clint a shout out here. When Clint got the 13 minutes, I realized we got to come up with a harder test because Clint will be, he's going to get to 20 minutes at some point. So we came up with another level of that. We do hand release push-ups. We do chin-ups or pull-ups or just get your chin above the bar. We do a plank, and then we do max burpees in a minute. And then if you're at the next level, we do max burpees in 2 minutes. And so if you do all those things, give you a pretty good indicator of where you are fitness wise. And now we're getting enough data to know where we kind of have levels to have guys to know where to shoot for. So level 1, 2, 3, and 4, once you achieve all the minimums of level 1, go on to level 2. Because guys, like anything, we want to know where we stand. It's not really competing. It's just knowing what to shoot for. And so some guys come in and they haven't been in the gym for a long time. So no matter where you are fitness wise, we're going to get you plugged into a lane that gets you going to the progress. So our fitness director, a guy named Brock Harling, who owns a gym in Minneapolis, awesome guy. He's also got a business called Humble Hustle, where he's coaching coaches. And he and I worked together to develop our training program. So there's the testing. The training's different. We base it on Peter Attia's 4 pillars of fitness for longevity. So stability, strength, zone 2 cardio, zone 5 cardio, and Brock's throwing in a 5th pillar of mobility. Because what we found is all these guys, shoulder issues, hip issues, knee issues. And so working on mobility first before we go too heavy in the strength has been a really key thing. And so back to the original question about testing, that's how we measure progress. So if you did 20 hand release pushups last month and you're training through the month, my bet is you're going to do 21, 22, 23, you're going to go up if you're doing the work. And so we can track that. And again, what I found is guys, if they're not tested, they drift. And they don't drift positively, they drift negatively. So the testing creates a discipline because you can't cram for a fitness test the night before. You got to be showing up every day or every other day. Otherwise, you're going to go backwards.
As you're talking about how you guys train, you know, I'm a former college athlete, so I love competing. I love having something on the calendar that I'm shooting for. These days, I don't have events on the calendar, but I remember one time on Sundays, I do hills in my neighborhood, and I was sprinting up the hills. I remember some guy, this is going to sound like a cliche made-up story, but it's real. I was running up the hills, and some guy saw me going forward, and he's like, oh, what are you training for? And I didn't have an answer for him, so I just said life. I'm training for life, and that's what we're doing. So I love that you have those tests each month. Something else you do with the men, I don't know if this is monthly or not, but the in-body scan, because you can get some key data, key information from the in-body scan.
Yeah, to me, that's the bookend. The fitness testing is measuring cardiovascular fitness, strength, all those things. The in-body testing really is how is your body comp doing? Because again, 80% of our guys are coming in, like the general population, they're 20% body fat or higher. We target 15%. And to give you an idea, that's an aggressive body fat percent when you look at ranges. And you got to dig to find this information. Everything's on BMI. BMI is great for population health. It's worthless on an individual level because every linebacker in the NFL is horrible based on BMI. They might be 8% body fat, which is amazing. So we in-body scan is great because it gives you, you can track each month how much weight you lost, how much fat you lost. Did you gain muscle? Did you lose muscle? And so that's our feedback mechanism to know which variables we need to tweak. And the main variables are back to our alpha five: mindset, sleep, nutrition, fitness, and hydration. Those are the variables that will directly impact your in-body scan. And so some of the guidance we give is try to hit your ideal body weight in grams of protein every day. So like right now I'm at 200 pounds. That's a good weight for me. Every day I'm targeting 200 grams of protein. And I try to keep my carbs, not low, but just
real quick. Give the listeners an idea of what 200 grams of protein looks like.
Yeah. So my typical day is about 50 grams of protein per three meals a day. And then a protein shake that's going to have 50 grams. It's like, there's the math. Three meals and a snack, 50 grams each gets me to 200.
Is 50 grams, is that a chicken breast or is that something else?
Chicken, you know, use 50 grams of protein is usually around 8 ounces of lean protein. That's like you're going to be pretty darn close. Some proteins are a little bit higher, a little bit lower, but, and again, 8 ounces is not that hard to eat. But you know, it's funny. Some guys come in, they're eating like 80 grams a day, high refined carbs and processed foods. And that all correlates to that 25-35% body fat. So once we start getting it, which also means they're probably in insulin resistance. So that's why they're getting bigger and they're retaining more fat. So we start unwinding that. So it hits your protein goal. It kind of crowds out the space for the carbs. And so we don't spend a lot of time because there can be information overload. We tell them to be in a caloric deficit, hit your protein goal, and then let carbs and fat fall wherever they fall. And then I've got one thing. I mean, I'm a geek on this stuff. This is called a lumen. Lumen measures the carbon dioxide in your breath in the morning or anytime. And it tells you your macros based on what you blow on this thing. And the idea is to get more metabolically flexible. And so like I've been working on this now and I've had a lot of improvement where I get like today I woke up with a 1, which means I was burning 85% fat when I woke up this morning. Now there's been days where I like go off and I'll do it intentionally. And if you blow a 5, you're burning all carbs. And that's where the majority of America is at right now. And that's why they're adding fat. So you don't need a lumen necessarily to tweak this. You just have to figure out what your macros are. And I mean, that's a whole nother podcast with somebody else who's way more educated in that. But the macros you eat are very important. A calorie is not just a calorie, is kind of the net of that.
Briefly, what's your approach? You pulled up that gadget there, the lumen you called it, which I was not familiar with before today. Technology. I think a lot of men, maybe they're not overwhelmed with technology, but they think they need it. So maybe they think they need a lumen. They need to get that the levels insulin monitor, or they need to get the Aura ring to track their sleep. There's Fitbit. There's Apple Watches. There's so many different things. What is your approach with the men in your program with incorporating technology into the work?
Well, my personal point of view on this is don't even worry about tech right now. Just like come in, let's focus on the basics. And as you get progress and momentum, if you have an interest in it, it could be an accelerant. So yeah, I've got my Aura ring on, four of our five family members have it. There's a whole group of guys in Argent Alpha that have one. We call it competitive sleeping because what we joke about, how many triple crowns do you have going on the Aura ring? But, you know, I think a lot of guys that can get them wrapped around the axle too, you know, rings and bands and this, it prevents them from actually doing the work. So to me, it's like a really cool thing to add when you're ready for it. And some guys are never going to be ready for it because some people stress on this stuff. I mean, they sleep worse because of the ring. Like, I got to go to sleep so I get a good score. So if that's you, don't worry. You don't need these things. They can be helpful, but they're not required.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point because I can see how for some men, I'm thinking about some of the men that I coach one-on-one, how from a gamification perspective, it can be a value add by all means. But it's so funny. I'm thinking about two specific men right now that I work with where it would be exactly that. It would not add value to them. It would be more of a bane, not because the technology is inherently bad, but because based on how they show up. So I hear the point that you're saying. Hey, a couple more questions. So you can speak personally for yourself or maybe with some of the men you've worked with in the Argent Alpha program. Beyond obviously getting the fitness dialed in, you're getting your health dialed in, you're getting stronger, you're eating cleaner, you're doing these different things. What are the other byproducts you're seeing? So what are some of the results that maybe you've experienced from a business career perspective, from a relationship marriage perspective, relationships that people have with their kids, community? And that's a very broad question, but we're thinking about fitness. We're thinking about what we're putting in our body. We're thinking about getting stronger. I don't think we always think about that. Hey, man, this is going to have positive ramifications, that ripple effect on all of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start with the book every member gets. I send them a little welcome package when they start. And it's Be Your Future Self Now by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. So that's like the cornerstone book. I say, you guys got to read this. This is where it all starts. I'd say it seems like every other guy, they start buying multiple copies. They give it to their kids. They give it to their wife, their coworkers. I mean, it's like that book helps them catch the fever. Like, I can design my life. It's in my control. I can go out and move from what I call default standards to design standards. And so I think that's one of the things is they just get the fear. We talk a lot about spouses. Well, like I said, there's three kinds of spouses. Aligned, which I'm fortunate. My wife, Jackie, and I are 100% aligned on all these things, which makes it easy, fun, friction-free. There's no grind involved. I don't like the word grind. Grind means something's not quite right. Then there are the neutral spouses. They're not, you know, that's fine, honey. You know, Tony's just doing another one of his things. You could pick one of those. They're not dismissive, but they're like, they've seen this story before. And then there's the saboteur spouses. Is it a reflection on them? Why does he want to get in better shape? Does that mean I need to get better? I mean, that's a whole other can of worms, which I'm not qualified to diagnose. And so what I tell guys is if you're starting this program, try to get your spouse on board. Tell them why you're doing it. What's the objective? Why are you even coming into this thing? Just share that with them. Don't ask them to do anything other than be supportive. And, you know, don't try to force them into your new habits. Because, I mean, there's a lot of changes that guys go through. They eat differently, sleep differently. The TV's not on in the bedroom at night anymore. Their alcohol consumption changes. And then all of a sudden the mindset is much different. They start thinking about things differently. And that just comes up in conversation. So I think share with your spouse up front. That's another thing that just the spillover effect. Kids, you know, it's funny. Almost everybody in this group, their kids are out of the house. They're either in college or they're even out of college. And so there, I think it becomes a different conversation where how do I get them to realize while they're young to get on this path so they can avoid some of the pitfalls that I've experienced. And so those are the three things that come to mind. I think that I'm trying to think, is there anything that I said that makes you, that we can go deeper in? Because it's an interesting question because I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that other than the spouse. Like, how can I help guys with the spousal part?
I can just speak personally. Like, when I'm tuned in, when I'm dialed in and all the things that you're talking about, every aspect of my life is better. Mm-hmm. My connection with my wife, my connection with my kids, my work. There's just this kind of a going downhill, not in a negative way, but like, you know, if you're running a race and you get a little bit of an incline going down, everything is going that much better. The intention that I show up with, like I know when I'm there because I can see how even other men around me behave. And that's not like a David Goggins intensity. I don't have that, but there's just a clear, to your point, probably the book that Hardy has that you recommended is a clear intention, why I'm here, why I'm waking up. And that has positive ramifications everywhere else. And we won't get into it today, but you're right. I know a lot of men that I've worked with over the years that once they start getting into shape, they start getting rid of those bad habits, they're cutting out porn and cutting out alcohol, that holds up a mirror to other people in their life, and it can cause friction.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many times, you getting your act together, getting healthier, getting stronger, getting better at your work, making more money, having a better marriage and beyond, that can hold up a mirror to other people to what they're not doing in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that can create some friction. That's for another podcast. We'll talk about that. But I've experienced that as well. So no, what you shared is great. And this is going to be the last question for what for me has been a fantastic conversation. Obviously, the work that you do focuses on men 50 and above. Well, I got a few years to go to make that happen, but I can't wait to join, even though I'm the only person, I think, beyond your son that's under 50 that has an Argent Alpha shirt that I should have wore today. But as you think about the work that you're doing right now, and I want to do the what I wish I knew.
Mm-hmm.
For those listeners in the Man Morning community that are in their 40s, but I'm really thinking about those folks in their 30s. Right now, what would you go back and tell Scott when he was in his 30s right now that maybe he wasn't doing back then?
So I'm just going to use my own experience and tell what I would have told myself in 2000. So 2000, we sold our business to a large publicly traded company, and you get this influx of cash. You're busy, you're changing, you've got three kids. You know, life is awesome. It's crazy. And I still remember pulling an all-nighter to get that deal done and missed the gym that next morning. It's I don't know why I remember this, because I used to play hoops a lot at the gym, 6 a.m. group of guys we'd play. And then that led to the next time we went Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think it was a Wednesday, missed the Friday one. And then all of a sudden I wasn't playing hoops anymore and came back sporadically and busy. And then my weight never got out of control, but I definitely got what I call loose in the cage, you know? And so I think what happens, and if I had a mentor, I was too young and cocky to even listen. And so I'd say, if you're in your mid 30s, you're going to be busy with your career and your kids, find someone 20 years ahead of you on the journey who looks, performs, behaves like that optimal man you think you want to be, and just tap them for experience, what you should do, what should you avoid. It's like, hey, be careful of the drinking, the client dinners, the big steaks. You can still do all those things. Just do them at a different level. Don't let your fitness program go. Go get baseline blood labs so you know where you stand. I mean, my son, he did them when he was 24, so we know where he stands. I mean, we got him going early. So I'd say that's the biggest thing, is it's tough to reach the guy who's 35 because they're busy, and you're still, at least in my experience, you kind of know it all. You need to be knocked out. I mean, then I got knocked on my ass 4 years later and learned from that. It's like, oh, all right. Maybe everything isn't just this up and to the right growth curve. There's some stuff that happens. It'd be nice if you didn't have to learn it the hard way, but it seems like we all kind of got to have one of those on the canvas, looking up at the lights moment before we actually start listening. So seek it out before you need it. It's like that, yeah, you get the umbrella from the banker on a sunny day. Do that.
That's great advice. Well, hey, man, I can't appreciate you enough for making time to talk about the important work that you're doing. I'm excited to continue to work with you, collaborate on different projects in the future and beyond. So thank you so much for making time today. Hey, thank you for listening to the Antonio Nev Show. For more information about the episode you just heard, just head on over to my website at theantonionev.com. If you still haven't followed the Antonio Nev Show or left a review just yet, I kindly invite you to do so right now. This is how we spread the word, and it goes a really long way. Also, if you know someone who would dig the episode you just heard, share this episode with them right now. All right, I'll see you back here very soon with another episode. In the meantime, remember, no one owes you anything, but you owe yourself absolutely everything.
People care about you, and no one can care more about your life than you do. And hey, I want you to know the best is ahead when you work and believe that the best is ahead. Things begin to change for the better. Never forget, you have a say in this.